Overnight with Daryl Morris on Talk Radio.
Hey, morning, 20 to 5, Talk Radio. I'm Daryl Morris. Thank you for your company this morning. So this is really weird, but brilliant as well. Denmark has opened its borders to couples who were separated from their partners by the coronavirus lockdown. As of Monday, cross-border couples who reside in the Nordic countries or Germany, as well, for example, can now visit Denmark to see their loved ones. But the rules currently require people to prove their relationship with photos or text messages or emails. I don't know how that works either, but brilliant. The Justice Minister, though, has announced that these regulations are going to be relaxed in the coming days. So it's all that's needed then is a letter that's going to be signed by both parties. Let's speak to Susan Winter now about this, who's a relationship expert. Susan, hi there. How are you doing?
Hi, Daryl. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well. You've got an interesting little story going on yourself as well, because you're normally in New York, but you are locked down in Arizona. Is that right?
Yeah. I have a winter home in Arizona and I can't go back to New York. You know, you can't have dog walkers enter your apartment if you're gone. There's nowhere to go. Cleaning ladies can't get in. Food can't be delivered. So it's only starting to open up now. But here I have a patio and a terrace and I can walk outside. So it's really helped me. But I'm going to be here another month or two. And it's hot, Daryl. I mean, it's like hot. 108, 110 degrees. It's hot.
Ooh.
So it's not perfect, but it's better. It's better than sitting in an apartment for 3 months. My friends have gone nuts in solitude. Nuts.
So
some people have been sequestered for 3 months. People lose their minds.
Yeah.
And then imagine if you're missing someone on top of that.
No, yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that brings us nicely, Susan, onto what we're talking about, because this has been a testing time for all sorts of different elements of our lives, not least relationships. We kind of talked about this quite a bit at the start, and what it was going to do for us, whether we would have a baby boom because we're all locked down with our partners with nothing better to do, or whether we would see a crumbling of relationships. A broad brush stroke on this one, Susan. Where are we up to generally?
You're absolutely correct. Extreme in both directions. There have never been more filings for divorce. And at the same time, you're going to have a lot of kids being born in the same months. Yes, because there's not a lot to do. I think the hardest thing that I've had to work with when I've worked with couples is how to keep their psychological space when they're in the same room together. And for people who are single, and the worst people are the ones who just met someone. Daryl, you know, it's hope lives in the beginning when you don't know much about a person, right? So it's like, oh, this is the one, and now we're separated. Oh my goodness, and now he's not calling me back, or she's fallen off the texting. And so that kind of nerve-wracking tension has been difficult to those people as well. But it's very interesting for couples that have been separated. I think I read that one of the current rules is that Denmark requires you to have been in a serious relationship, which means at least 6 months. And I don't think it was counting the time during the quarantine. Right. So we have come to a time period where 6 months is considered a serious relationship. That just gives you an angle on modern dating altogether, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For anyone who's done, because I saw a couple that had been reunited in a nursing home. They could not see each other. They were in the same nursing home after 3 months, and they'd been married 70 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's broken my heart a little bit.
It was lovely.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sweet. That's so, so sweet. So just sticking with Denmark then for a minute, because the idea then is that you have to prove that you've been in that relationship for longer than 6 months. So I guess that's what, a time-stamped or a date-stamped correspondence?
Yes, that was, I just read one article from the BBC, and that I didn't have time to check all the different articles, but it seems like you couldn't just pretend, you know, that they need to see photographs. They're looking at social media. Right now it's a little strict because it could be a great time for people to say, oh, no, John and I are together, you know, here's a picture of us. Yeah. So that's, but I think it's wonderful because it is stressful on couples. You know, people are insecure as it is. And then when you're separated from your partner, the only advantage is it's not like your partner could do that much. You know, if you were sequestered and they were in Las Vegas, that's another thing. But everybody's in the same boat. So, but people get a little scared, you know, when they don't have contact. They start, and then you start to have fights. So there are lots of downsides to being separated too long.
So do you think that we're going to see as many sort of breakups because of lockdown as we see babies, I guess?
Yes, I do. I think everything will go in extremes because we've had an extreme challenge. Extreme situations create extreme reactions. People are more tense because, you know, I think we all felt, okay, I can do this. And I know we have sequester fatigue here in the U.S. We've got that lockdown fatigue. It's like, okay, forget it. People don't even want to wear masks, and you really have to. So I think that everybody just has had a little bit too much of it. But it would be very, very nice for couples who do love each other to finally be able to reunite. Many of these couples there, as a matter of fact, I did an article for a magazine, and the lady was, she's a travel writer. And so she routinely sees her partner. It is a long distance relationship, but they get to see each other at least once a month. Now they don't know when they're going to be able to see each other.
Oh,
so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's really sad. That's really, really sad. And I suppose, I guess there'll be those relationships that are strengthening because of the distance, oddly, perversely.
Some, yes. And I think, so here's something really interesting. It's a little off topic, but I have known several women who had a first date that lasted 3 months in quarantine. Some guys said, you know, you're adorable. Listen, I'm going to get out of here. You can't be in San Francisco. It's in lockdown. And they've been in a mini relationship, and they have, considering today's dating world, it's like having dated a year because you've been living. One gal called me today and she said, I'm living in my boyfriend. He's a boyfriend. He said, you know, I don't want you to be alone. Come stay in my parents' house. They have formed a relationship. So in Denmark, I think it's wonderful that they're opening it up. And what's the situation in the UK, as a matter of fact? Where are you guys with this?
Oh, your guess is as good as ours at the moment, Susan, to tell you the truth. That is the story of our times. You can sort of see one person in a park as long as they've, you know, only shaved since Tuesday. It's all a bit weird and a bit complicated, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But in theory, you can now see a loved one, but you do have to stay 2 meters apart from them. So I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, public, right.
So.
And people...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say people have been fudging the rules here. People have picked, in America, they picked their quarantine tribe. Like, okay, I trust you, you trust me. We don't go to Costco. We haven't gone to any of these big box stores. We've stayed local. I'll pick my 4 or 5 friends that I'm comfortable seeing, and we'll keep our distance. I know that's how people have worked it out here, or families stay together.
Yeah.
But it has been hard, and I'm glad that it's going to be very interesting to have Denmark start this and see how it affects the rest of us, how it opens up that concept for everyone else.
Yeah, that's really interesting, that kind of bubble social bubbles that you're talking about. I want to talk more about that in a minute and about how that affects dating, but also just on the issue of people sort of quarantining together, essentially having a first date for 3 months. That's not an ordinary situation. That's a bit like getting together with somebody on a reality TV show, on Big Brother or something like that. It's not gonna last.
Bingo.
In that kind of way, is it?
And that's why I'm getting the phone calls. You know, it all lasts as long as it's under that little bubble. Okay, if it's in there. Now, the girl who called me today said, I'm terrified. Now we're entering the real world. I'm afraid it won't last. I can't guarantee her that it will, but I can tell her that she's fast-tracked a relationship. While other people were looking for love online with video chat, she was actually living in a house with a man, playing house, and now she's in a committed relationship. It's unpredictable. When you go back to your life, the question is, so, you know, magazines have asked me, so do you think they're going to date voraciously? And what do you, or do you think they're going to settle down? And I think some people will go out and hit everything that moves. It's just like, I can't, I'm free. I'm going to drink. I'm going to a bar. I'm going to engage in everything that I couldn't do before. And others are going to moderate their pace and go, you know, I kind of learned from this. And I kind of, you know, I'm going to take some of that because it has, for those who were sequestered, it has slowed the pace of getting together physically. So when you jump the gun physically by putting sex in before you have a construct and an emotional connection and history, and you haven't built enough of a foundation, those relationships wither. And that's been the last 20 years of living in the millennial culture of the hookup culture. It's just here today and gone tomorrow. And that is exhausting for people that have gone through it, and they lose hope. So I think the upside of the pandemic is that it has slowed everyone's pace for entering a relationship. Those who have a relationship are even more determined to hang on to it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm seeing on my end.
Yeah. I'm not that I'm determined to hang on to it necessarily, but I definitely think that this has been a big test for me in my relationship. Bit of a weird one, because just to give you my brief autobiography, I moved to London to do this program, but only during the week, and I still had a house up here with my partner, and I've come back up, and so we've gone from September last year, when I moved to a different city during the week, we went from having this suddenly we were extreme apart, you know, for a week at a time, and then I'd come back and spend the weekends with her in our actual house up here in the north of England. And then we've gone to the situation where I'm back home and we're spending all of our time together again. So we're sort of jarred in two different, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's been quite good.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably showed us actually that we get on really well. And I've kind of thought, if we can get through this last 6 months, year, as it'll be soon, I think we'll be all right. We'll manage everything. And I guess that people are sort of, I mean, we're learning very, very quickly how we feel about the people that are around us, aren't we?
Oh, you've nailed it. That's perfect. I'm really excited about what you said. You've given two of the best possible scenarios. You have a partner that allows you to do your work because it means so much to you and is independent enough that she can take care of herself. And then when you reunite, it's like wonderful. It's like a honeymoon, right? And now that you're together all the time, you don't want to kill each other. So this is great. This is fabulous. And I think that, yes, in a time period like this, those people who were on the fence and living with each other, and it's like they didn't like them, it's like, okay, I know now, no matter what, I cannot stand this person. Or if they're separated, like, I can't live without them. I miss them. I mean, the phone, there's only so much FaceTime you can do and Skype dinner dates. So I think it's shown a lot of us how we feel about things, because I don't know about you, but I've gone into kind of a bit of a life review. Mm. Where do I want to live? How hard do I want to work? I'm a workaholic. And I'm like, wait, you're in the desert. Your buddy, the golf pro, keeps asking you to play golf every day and you don't go out. I mean, what's wrong? You're sitting on a laptop. You could be in Alaska. What's wrong with you? So I think it's made, you know, there's a mass exodus from some of the major cities. People are thinking, boy, you know, if I'm going to be locked up and sequestered, I'd rather have a porch and a backyard and a local park that I can go to. So I think all of us have assessed this situation on a multiple of levels. It may appear that it's one, but I think it's gone a lot deeper, because I don't think it's the last. And I think most people are thinking that as well.
Yeah. Well, that's very true as well. Just, we've run out of time slightly, Susan, but there's one more point that I want to put to you, but it's quite a big one. Psychologically, this is going to be having an effect on us in terms of our physical contact with people, right? We've been told now, we've been convinced, you know, sort of brainwashed essentially into trying to stay as far apart from each other as we can, be as vigilant about that contact. I haven't physically touched anybody apart from Michaela.
Yeah.
In the last, you know, right. God knows how long. And obviously, I'm not going to be going off touching people because I'm in a very committed relationship.
But are you sure?
Yes, very, very sure. I'm in a very committed relationship. But if you're not. And you're going to be, you're going to get back on that track of dating, just the very nature of physically being with somebody and physically touching somebody psychologically is going to change, is it not?
It could, but I mean, it would be like an impulsive child who just, you know, wants to eat their cake before they have dinner. I think the hardest thing about not having physical touch is for those individuals who've lost a partner. I know when my father died many decades ago, somebody said to me, you need to get your mom to have a massage therapist because it will be the only touch she will ever have. And I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that. But human touch is very grounding. It's connecting. People tend to physicalize that and make it about sex, but just human touch, caring, belonging. Remember the thing that was agony for all the people, their parents were dying, or their grandparents, they couldn't go to the hospital, they couldn't hold their hand. So yes, being denied human touch separates us from our sense of belonging and connection. So that's why it's so important to reconnect in that way and to see human beings. Mm. We're pack animals. We like to see, we get a little nutty if we don't see other humans, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Hey, Susan, we're out of time, but it's really nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for your insights.
And you we'll, too.
We'll speak again for sure. No doubt about it. Thank you, Susan.
Daryl, thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Susan Winter, who is a relationship expert with us on Talk Radio this morning. Right, James Max coming up soon, rapidly. We're going to do the best bit of the Stories of Our Times podcast before then as well. Stay right there.